when you're up on the mountain. And you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But then things change and you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith, for you're never alone. For the God of the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. Yes. The God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. Yes. It says you talk of faith when you're up on the mountain, but the talk comes so easy when life's at its best. But it's down in the valley of trials and temptations. That's when faith is really put to the test. So what I'd like to look at tonight is, back in history, look at some that were put to the test and what they did in adversity. And I was thinking of the children of Israel, how that God had promised them and He had shown them how much He would do for them when they crossed the Red Sea, when they crossed the Jordan River, how many battles He fought for them. He caused the sun to stand still to help them in a battle. He caused the sun to move backwards, touched nature and made it where no other time that I know of has anything like that happened. But how many times He showed them that it's not by power, it's not by might, it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. And yet we see that the children of Israel, they turned against the Lord. How many times they did it. And then trouble would come their way and they would call on the Lord and He would help them out. And time would pass and they would go right back to it again. But I'm looking at this one time. And now they're going to go into Babylon for 70 years. Yes. You know how long 70 years is out of a lifetime? Some of them are never going to make it back again. But I was thinking of Jeremiah. That's one prophet that I really feel sorry for, the time that he lived in. You know, there was a time when some prophets, when they lived, when Samuel lived, how much the people respected Samuel. When Samuel would come into town, the people would ask, is there any problem? You know, why are you here? A high regard for Samuel. But it wasn't that way with Jeremiah. But you read his whole lifetime. In fact, I was reading the other day that it sounds like he died by his own people. His own people killed him down in Egypt where they had his own people had taken him there. And all that time, he's taken the word of the Lord and given it to him. You find in the first part of Jeremiah, he's pleading with them. Would you please turn? Trouble's coming if you don't. And then you see it come to a place where there's no need to rebel now. You're going to be taken into captivity. And I was looking at a verse over here in Jeremiah, 29th chapter, and the fourth verse. Now what if the Lord told you this? Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. God speaking. You know how many times He spoke to His children, His people, and told them, fear not, I'm with you. Be not dismayed, I'm your God. But now He's telling them, I'm the one that has caused you to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. So I was looking at this. In the middle of that, we find some faithful people. And it made me think about the day we're living in today. It's real easy for me, because of all the news and everything that's coming to me, to feel like, you know what, there is no one living a righteous life hardly in our world anymore. But you know, there were some people in Jeremiah's time when Jeremiah was prophesying to the leaders to try to get them to turn. There were people that were faithful. We know that because one of them that I want to talk tonight about is Daniel. And Daniel did not just turn his heart to the Lord when he went into captivity. He just continued to live in the same kind of life that he had been living when he was back at Jerusalem. And I'm looking at this. What was said of Daniel? I was looking over in Daniel in the 5th chapter. Remember when this is right at the end of the kingdom, when there is a testimony given of him in Daniel, the 5th chapter, and in the 11th verse. This is Belshazzar. He has seen the handwriting on the wall, and he's so troubled by it. And it says the queen is now speaking, says in the 10th verse, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And look at the 12th verse. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, an excellent spirit was found in Daniel. And you know, they found that in him while he's a slave in captivity, when troubles have come to him. What would have been my attitude if I had been in his place? I was thinking about over a verse over in Psalms, the 11th chapter, because there are some things that had eroded with God's people. And this in the 11th chapter and in the 3rd verse, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? You know, after all that God had done for his people and the foundations that they had of his laws for them to live by were destroyed, no longer were the leaders going that direction. And yet what was happening with Daniel? What would have been happening with me? There are some things that can happen in those kind of times when trouble comes. And one of those is bitterness. You know, I was thinking of Daniel. He sure had an opportunity to let bitterness eat him up. Hebrews 12 and 15, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. What it could have done for Daniel if he had allowed bitterness to come in. I have been living faithfully. Yes, there's the leaders that have not been. I've been living faithfully, and now I'm the slave. He could have had bitterness toward the leaders that wouldn't take heed to the warnings of Jeremiah. He could have had bitterness toward God for allowing a righteous man to suffer for the sins of others. And I was thinking he could also have been bitter toward Nebuchadnezzar for ruining his future of what could have been out ahead for him. Those things that could have bitterness come in. You know, we can have things come to us, adversity come to us, and we're going to have to make a choice of what we do with it. Joseph made a choice of what he would do with adversity. And it was amazing to me what God did with those choices. When Joseph chose that he would accept it and he would do the very best by it, you know how he found favor in the sight of the jailer? Daniel found favor in the sight of those that were over him. It's amazing how that happened. When they yielded themselves to God's plan, how that was able to work. So over here in Jeremiah, in the 29th chapter, it's telling us whom I have caused to be carried away. But he says, now I'm telling you what to do. 29, we read the 4th verse. But in the 5th verse, he's saying, okay, here's what you do. Build houses, dwell in them, plant gardens, eat the fruit of them. Take you wives and beget sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands. And the 7th verse, seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captive. And pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. But they had a hope. There had been a prophet that was saying, it won't be 70 years. You're going to be back home in 2 years. Just a very short time and you will be back. You know what kind of hope you would have had if it was really going to be 2 years instead of 70 years? And they had a high hope. And here Jeremiah is telling them, look, you're going to be here for a long time. Just settle in, build your houses, raise your families. And I'm thinking about us. We don't know what the future holds, but we do know who holds the future. And I believe what's going to be important for us to realize in this is You know what? We can have fruit grow in adversity. When troubled times are happening around us, no matter what happens out in these next months out ahead of us, if we would realize no matter what happens, God's going to be there with me, just like he was there with Daniel or anyone else that had troubles in their life. There was, when reality set in, it really is going to be 70 years. I look at a little verse over in Psalms that kind of gives us a picture of how dejected they were feeling. Psalms in 137. verses 1-6. By the rivers of Babylon, they're captive now. There we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. So what they're saying is, you know what? I've lost my song. My song isn't going to come back unless I'm able to be out of this captivity. And you know, this was talking about slavery, but we can have all kind of adversity come into our life that takes our song if we let it. And here those in Babylon were saying, we'd like to hear what you used to sing. You know, they could have had victory to where they could sing a song, whether they were back at home in Jerusalem or whether they were a captive, able to live a life to be an example. It happened with both Daniel and it happened with Joseph that they were able to get up on top of the problems that they were faced with. I was looking at a song that we sing, enemies may strive to injure. Yes. Satan all his arts employ. He will turn what seems to harm me into everlasting joy. You know what? He will if I let him. It says he will hide me where no storm can ever betide me. You know, Daniel and Joseph both held a key of whether that could be activated or whether they would have bitterness overtake them. And you know what? We have the same thing for ourselves when trouble comes to us. Of what we're going to allow it to do, is it going to take our song and bitterness comes in? Or can we realize, you know what? The Lord has allowed this to come into my life for some purpose. I was thinking of Job. Went through the adversity that he went through. A just man, a righteous man. And yet in one day's time, everything was taken from him. And he was able to have this attitude. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And with Joseph, what was his testimony after all those years that he had lost when he saw his brothers again? He said, it wasn't you. It was God that allowed this to happen. If in the troubles that we have come into our life, if I can do like Job said, it was the Lord that caused this to happen. You know, with the children of Israel, God saying himself, I have caused you to be carried away captive. What that means is he helped the enemy to be able to have the victory. Well, Daniel was able to go into that with an excellent spirit, and God helped him out. Where it talks about that excellent spirit, let's take a look at what caused that to be. You remember where there was a dream given in Daniel in the 4th chapter and in the 19th verse. How would you feel if the Lord revealed to you that trouble is about to come to someone that is causing you problem? Would you down inside say, I tell you what, he's had it coming to him for a long time. He's caused me trouble and now here it comes back. It's what he deserves. But when this vision came to Nebuchadnezzar in the 4th chapter, down in the 19th verse, Daniel now has received what this really is going to mean. And it says, Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour. His thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar, Daniel, answered and said, My lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. What's he saying? I really don't want trouble to come to you. I would rather this trouble go to somebody else than to you. What an attitude. That's what happens with a person that has an excellent spirit. Instead of being overcome of evil, he overcame evil with good. It was just down inside him and it came up. You remember there was another incident in the 6th chapter. This is with another king, his king Darius. And where, you remember, he's thrown into the lion's den. The next morning, the king comes to see, has he been able to survive it? 20th verse, when he came to the den, this is the king, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel to the king, what's your response? After the king made such a decree and did not realize what he was doing. Look at what Daniel's response is. O king, live forever. What a regard that he had. This is part of that excellent spirit. So I was looking at this. Daniel, as far as I understand, he died in captivity. Lived his life there and died. Did not ever go back again. But yet throughout those times, we don't see what happened to him every day. But we see that when some years passes and all of a sudden he's needed, he was ready. He didn't have to say, you know what, I need to do some praying because I've allowed some bitterness to come in. I can't be a help to you right now. But instead, they could just come to him and say, you know what, they've got another, this, saw some handwriting on the wall and they're not able to tell what it is. Can you come help us out? And he was ready to be able to do it. I was looking in another place of being able to bear fruit in adversity. I'd like to look at 1 Samuel. Because David had a time where in the 30th verse, 30th chapter of 1 Samuel, starting in the first verse, it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag, on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. You know what happens to your emotions at that time? It says, David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept till they had no more power to weep. Trouble has come. Some big trouble has come. And what are they going to do about it? David also had lost his 2 wives, were taken captive. Sixth verse of that. David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But look at what happens here. David encouraged himself in the Lord. At a time when his men that stood beside him now are so grief-stricken that they're thinking of stoning him. But what all is involved in this little piece of scripture? David encouraged himself in the Lord. And then instead of weeping till he had no more power to weep, he goes and asks, what does the Lord want to be able to have done from this? So at a time when we may feel like, well, we're all alone in this adversity, but let's realize, you know what? By the Lord's help, we can encourage ourselves in the Lord. There are a lot of scriptures that are put in there to be an encouragement to us. Let us take our time when we're having an adversity and go find those to have something solid to stand on. There's a song, number 51. It says, his oath, his covenant, his blood will support me in the whelming flood. when all around my soul gives way, just like with David, there was nothing to encourage him. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. So Christ is where we want to run to. And in the adversity that David wasn't just thinking, I tell you what, I am well able to do it. But I think he went to a source. And I'd like to look at where I think that source came from. In Psalms, the 61st chapter of Psalms. And I believe this starts out to be saying that it is a Psalm of David. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. I wonder if this could have been a time just like Ziklag. My heart's overwhelmed. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart's overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Remembering the times past when the Lord has helped him out, for us to do the same thing, let's remember the times in the past when he has been to me a shelter and a strong tower from the enemy. And now I'm coming to him. My heart's overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I would like to look at another person. It hardly gives us any record of this person, but I think this person bore fruit in adversity. It's in 2 Kings, the 5th chapter. Because, you know, we can read these stories and we can hear of someone going into captivity. And I've never had that happen to me where my freedoms are completely taken away. I don't get to make a choice of what I do tomorrow. But I read this one about Naaman. And it just has just a little piece in this second verse. The first verse of the 5th chapter. Naaman, captain of the hosts of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable. Because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. Here's another one of those verses. God allowed Syria to be able to overtake God's own people. It says he was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel. You know, to them it was nothing to pick up somebody and bring them back. I need them to help take care of my house for me. But what it must have been to affect, look at this, seemed like a little child. Brought away captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. You know, she's got to work with attitude about what has happened to her, the injustices of what has happened to her. But talk about fruit in adversity. She sees what this man that has come and taken her away from her home. She sees him and sees he has a problem. He's got leprosy. And look at what she says in the third verse. She said to her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria. He would recover him of his leprosy." What a testimony. Yes. I don't even wish you bad for having taken me into captivity. In fact, if there was any way that you could get back over there, I believe that you could be healed from this problem. And you know, it looks like she could have said, I tell you what though, there is one little piece here. You're going to have to get me back to my family first. We don't see that in here. It was just, I tell you what, I'm thinking of you, this disease that you have. If you could just go back to where I came from, you could be healed of that. Jesus has peace for us today. Those were all in the Old Testament. I thought of a verse in, what about for us and the future that we don't really know what's going to happen for ourselves? John 16 and 32. Jesus got adversity coming. Said, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." Then he says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." And he's just told them, you're fitting to have some big trouble come. You're going to be scattered. But he said, in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. To me, this verse was applied good for the disciples, but I think it applies good for us in 2020 when we can't tell what the future holds. In the world, you're going to have some tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, and we can have victory ourselves in it. There is one more verse that I'd like to look at, because no matter how wicked things become around us, there is a verse that gives us a promise. Romans in the 5th chapter and the 20th verse. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You know, it seems like sin is abounding today. But there's a promise that where it does, grace will always stay ahead of it. There will always be grace for us to be able to live pleasing to the Lord. And I have a song that I'd like to just read the words to you in closing. What can we do? You know, we have more today than they had in the Old Testament. Christ has died and he's on his throne. We saw it. We saw a picture of it with Stephen when he died. He saw Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father. And he cares about what we are going through. The adversities that come into our life, he can help us with our attitude with it. This song says, I have a source of strength when I am weak. Now it doesn't say because I'm a Christian, I'm never weak. I never have a problem. No, I've got a source of strength when I am weak that takes me through when life is pressing me. I have a source of power from above. I'm covered over by a shield of love. I claim the blood. You know, that wasn't just for my salvation. I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains were made there just for me. For all my sorrow, my sickness, and my pain, when I need healing, I claim those precious blood stains. Says, I do not know how others make it through who never go to Calvary as I do. For there the healing, cleansing stream still flows with peace. Remember the peace that Jesus said? In the world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. For there the healing, cleansing stream still flows with a peace that only his redeemed can know. I claim the blood that Jesus shed on Calvary. Today, Jesus cares about what we will be going through. The difficulties that we face, no matter what the future holds, he cares about it. And he can help us with attitudes that want to come. That I could be like Daniel and have an excellent spirit. To where when the one that has caused me trouble, that I have only a desire that good would come into their life. What an attitude to have, and yet the Lord has it for us. I desire your prayers.